Today's scripture reading from the New Testament comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 14. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord Jesus, we give you praise this day for being the one in whom Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled. We give you thanks and praise for setting the course for your mission so clearly, so that we might see how you were going to minister to people through the course of your earthly ministry. Make us ambassadors after your name and after your sake, so that we might carry forward the mission of Christ into this world. And conform us to your image, so that we might preach good news to those around us as well, even as we hear it applied to our very selves. Bless us in the hearing and meditating on these words, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have a clock in our house, in the parsonage. You know, it's your house. We just happen to live there. It belongs to the church. And there's a wall clock that we have hanging now on our living room wall. It had been taken down from the living room wall for the Christmas season because we had put up some Christmas decorations, and we had neglected to put it back up until I found the box where we had put these things this past week. And the wall has been bare in that particular spot, and every time I wanted to know what time it was, I'd look up at an empty section of wall. Well, I finally got tired of that while Tara was away in Detroit the first part of this week, and I thought, I've got to find this box. So I found it, and I put the clock back up on the wall, and let it set there, and made sure it was the right time and everything. Several hours passed, and I looked up to see what time it was, and it said the same time that I had just set. You know how this goes, right? The battery had died. It runs on a AA battery, and over the Christmas season, in our neglect of it, it decided to give up the ghost, and the battery said, I'm not going to hang on the wall, I'm not going to keep time. So it was a dead battery. Switched the battery out. Several hours passed. It still said the same time. I had put another dead battery. We have dead batteries out the wazoo, I think, in our house. Finally, I think, maybe, hopefully, there's a live battery in it now. I don't know. But it reminded me of the importance of having charged batteries. Some of the batteries we have are rechargeable batteries. You know, the power pack that operates this gizmo that I'm wearing has rechargeable batteries. And every so often, the batteries die. I changed them this morning, Kirk, so don't worry. We've got live batteries here because I turned it on this morning and, ooh, the red light was flashing. And I thought, we got to change the batteries here. How important it is to have powered batteries in the things that we take for granted so often. How important it is for us as the people of God to have empowerment to do God's work. How important it was for Jesus to have empowerment to do the work that he had to do. Did you catch how Luke began this story? of Jesus going home to his hometown crowd and preaching. This is the first sermon that we have from Jesus' lips. And in fact, in Luke's gospel, it's really the only message that Jesus preaches. It just began it in today's reading, and it continues through the rest of the chapter. Every other time that Luke records Jesus preaching, he says, Jesus preached to the crowds. It doesn't say what he preached. But here, we have an insight into what was the content of Jesus' messages. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. God has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. And even to set up that story, Luke has said something very profound. Luke has said at the beginning of this story, Jesus returned to Galilee, his home area, in the power of the Spirit. He did not go there of his own accord. He did not go there on his own as a human being without any spiritual batteries in him. No, he went with the power of the Spirit. This is a really significant thing for us to think about because we know Jesus is fully God and fully human. That's what we proclaim. It's the Orthodox Christian belief. God is fully revealed in Jesus of Nazareth. God lives completely and fully in Jesus of Nazareth. And yet, Luke is careful to note for us that Jesus went home to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, in the power of God's Spirit. This is not the first time that Luke has made this note for us. Just before this story, the beginning of chapter 4, Jesus is propelled out into the desert, into the wilderness, by the Spirit, to be tempted by the Satan, the accuser. 40 days Jesus was in the wilderness, fasting and praying. This is why we do our Focus 40 season of, really, it's Lent. We should call it Lent. We should practice it as Lent, as most of Christianity does. It's time of prayer and perhaps fasting, waiting for God in the power of the Spirit. But that wasn't even the first time that Luke mentioned Jesus in the power of the Spirit. There was this baptism scene. Do you remember? Jesus was baptized, like many of us are. When we proclaim faith in Jesus, we undergo the rite of baptism, another rite of passage as a believer in Jesus. And at Jesus' baptism, there was this theophany, a word that means an appearance of God, where God showed up, the voice of, you remember, James Earl Jones, of course, saying, "This is my Son whom I love," and the dove, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, descends on Jesus. The Spirit had empowered Jesus from that moment. But that wasn't even the first time that the Holy Spirit had been shown to be in Jesus' life. It came even from the moment of his conception. Do you remember? The story of Mary, his mother. The angel visited her, Gabriel, and said, "You are to be most favored of all women because you will bear the Son of God." I'm paraphrasing. And Mary said, "How is this going to be, since I'm a virgin?" And as we all know, that's not how you have children. And the angel said to her, "The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will overshadow you, and you will conceive, and will give birth to a son." This is God's Son. This Jesus is God's Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit, even from the moment of his conception as a human baby. How important it is for us to be empowered by that same Spirit. Have you picked up on a theme of our Sunday morning messages in this past month? Have you picked up on a commonality that unites sort of the past 4 weeks? Is there a word that might come to mind about what each of these messages has been about? This is my test to see if you've been paying attention. And I always kind of quiver when I ask questions like this. Any word that might unite these, or that picture might make you think of? Bueller? Anyone? Thank you. Kind of shooting in the dark because I haven't said this is what the theme has been. That's okay, don't feel bad. The theme is a journey. Oh yes, now I understand. Now I remember. A journey, right? The wise men, the magi, journeyed from afar, from the far east, from the east of Israel to visit the newborn Jesus. We looked at that story just after the new year began. And then there was the story of Jesus' baptism, the beginning of his earthly ministry, the beginning of his journey in serving the Lord. Last week we thought about what it means for us to sponsor a delegate from India, northern India, to journey all the way from there to Anderson as a part of this global gathering thing that will happen this coming June. A journey. To be on journey, to be on a journey for the sake of the kingdom of God. Even you being here today represents a journey of sorts. None of us live in this building, right? Sometimes I wonder if I do. But none of us live in this building all the time. None of us sleep in this building. We all journeyed to be here. It took something for you to be here today. It's a journey of faith to even be in the house of God to worship Him on a Sunday morning. How important it is for us to have charged batteries for the journey. Where do we find meaning in Jesus' life in this story? The story of Jesus going to his hometown, preaching to the crowd that had gathered in church, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath day in Nazareth. Where do we find meaning in this story? This is the first time that Jesus has preached publicly. The first words of Jesus to the public crowd in Luke's gospel. And he turns as his chosen sermon text, whether it was assigned for that day or he just picked it. The text isn't really clear about how it worked. But he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah. Probably Isaiah is kind of a long book. Those of you reading through the Bible straight through, when you get to Isaiah, hang on, because it's a long one. And it's got some pretty weird stuff in it. Isaiah was probably in at least two scrolls. So Jesus takes the scroll that is the appropriate one for today, and he unrolls it to what we call the 61st chapter. Isaiah is 66 chapters long, so he goes almost all the way to the end. And finds these words, a passage that had been written and proclaimed to the people of God centuries before. Isaiah was around 600 years before Christ, more or less. And in that day, Isaiah spoke those words as a message of hope to those who were on the outskirts of society, to those who were neglected, to those who were not lifted up as worthy of much of anything. This is a passage that promised a coming Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. How we yearn for freedom for prisoners. For recovery of sight to the blind. How we yearn for those who struggle with physical ailments to be able to see again. To release the oppressed. How we yearn for those under oppression to be set free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus chooses this as his sermon text. And then he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Not today, I would like to explain to you how this passage of scripture describes the mission that I am on. Even though that's true for Jesus. It's deeper than that. For Jesus, it is to say this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing today. Fulfilled is such an important word. Because Isaiah, from of old, wrote these words and they meant something to the people he spoke them to. But they kept waiting. They kept waiting for when they would be fulfilled. When the hope would be realized. When truth would be actualized, and there would be good news for the poor, and there would be release for prisoners, and there would be sight for the blind. When would this come? How long do we have to wait? Jesus says, today it is fulfilled in your hearing. Where do we find meaning in Jesus' mission? Well, he says these words apply to him and his mission. They set the course for what he will do in his earthly ministry. Is he talking about a spiritual kind of mission? Is he talking about a physical kind of mission? I think he's talking about both. When he says he has good news to preach to the poor, he means literally to those who are poor, those who are on the outskirts of society, those who are not very highly looked upon in culture. He hangs out with them. That's the story of Luke's gospel. We see it over and over and over again. As you read through all of Luke, you see how Jesus was not hanging out with high society. He was hanging out with common people, people who were not well off. That's who we wanted to be around. And Jesus hung out with people who were spiritually poor too. Tax collectors, prostitutes, Pharisees, the church leaders who should have been in tune with God but weren't. Jesus' mission is both material and spiritual. He comes to bring good news to the spiritually poor. He comes to bring freedom to the imprisoned, those who are imprisoned by sin. He comes to bring recovery of sight to those who have been blinded by the forces of darkness. He comes to bring release for those who are oppressed by the enemy. He comes to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We don't use that language very often anymore. That's an old Israelite way, an old Jewish way of talking about the year of Jubilee. The year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee that would turn around every 50 years or so. It was set up in the early stages of the Old Testament, and we don't really have very many records of it actually happening. Because if you can think of this happening, it would be kind of chaotic, but it's a really wonderful idea. Every 50 years, all debts would be wiped out. Whatever you owed somebody, gone. That sounds pretty fantastic, right? I would take out a huge mortgage on a wonderful house in year 49. And then, boom. What? Tara's shaking her head. No. Okay, maybe not. I wonder how this worked out in practice. It's not really recorded as being done and what the after effects of it were in Scripture. We don't really have a great idea of that. But from the beginning, this was the idea that after a Sabbath of Sabbaths, every seven sets of 7 years, 49, the 50th year would be a year of Jubilee, and everything would return to its rightful owner, and there would be no more indebtedness. Jesus comes to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor when there is to be no more indebtedness, not to each other, but to God. There is to be no more indebtedness to God for the sins that we have committed against Him. Jesus comes once and for all to remove the penalty for sin, to remove the debt that we owe to Him because of what we have done against Him. This is Jesus' mission. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. Jesus came with a clearly defined, scripturally sound, spirit-prompted mission. He came with a clearly defined, scripturally sound, spirit-prompted mission to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the poor in a revolutionary, messianic way. How important it was for him to begin his journey with charged batteries, empowered by the Spirit of God. Jesus began his ministry by laying out the plan in great detail. You realize this story of Jesus preaching in his hometown is sort of a microcosm of the entire scope of Jesus' ministry. Do you know what happened after Jesus preached these words in Nazareth, in that synagogue setting that day? At first, the people said, "This is great stuff. We love it." And then Jesus kept talking a little bit more. Do you remember what he said after that? "Surely you'll say, physician, heal yourself. You've done all these miracles," right? Luke hasn't recorded them yet, but he will in later chapters. "You've done all these miracles in other places. When do we get some?" And Jesus said, "Well, here we are. I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." And before you knew it, the crowd had turned against him, kicked him out of town, took him to a cliff, and they were going to push him off the cliff to kill him. He slipped through the crowd and went his own way. Amazing that he could do that. A microcosm of his entire ministry. Jesus comes to earth preaching good news to the poor. At first, the people kind of like it, and it sounds pretty good. He attracts a following, 12 people, maybe a few thousand people at a time, hearing him preach. And then before you know it, Good Friday will come. The people will turn against him. The same people who had just praised him as the Savior, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, on Palm Sunday, 5 days later, will call for his crucifixion. Before you know it, the world is turned against him. Jesus tells us before all of this happens, this is the plan, folks. I've come to preach good news to the poor. It's going to sound pretty good at first. The people are going to turn against me. And you might even want to kill me for it. But this is the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus' whole life, his entire ministry, had a clear purpose, a clear mission. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God into the world. And he explained his reason to be on mission through Scripture. He found reason to do what he did by studying and knowing and applying the Word of God to his life. How important it is for us to do the same. I would be remiss if I left the story of Jesus at the grave. Because, of course, we know that Jesus did not stay dead. He came back to life, which just seals the deal. Which shows that he is ultimately powerful over all forces of evil, over all forces of humanity, no matter how the world would try to keep the message of Christ down. How does that go? You can't keep a good man down. Delete one of the O's. You can't keep the God man down. I just came up with that right now. Isn't that pretty cool? Okay. And Tara's still shaking her head. I don't think she's ever going to stop. Each of us is on a journey. Each of us is on a spiritual journey. Each of us is at a different place in life. Some of us are older, some of us are younger. Some of us are older in the Lord, some of us are younger in the Lord. Each of us is at a different place. How important it is for us to have batteries that are charged, empowered by the Spirit to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. This congregation is at a specific point in its life. You realize we're 70 years old now, Mount Haley Church of God. The record books record that we're founded in 1943. This is 2013. That's 70 years, if I can subtract right. We're at a specific point in our history. Where are we going? Where have we been? How charged are our batteries? How empowered by the Spirit are we to do the work that God has called us to do? What work has God called us to do? These are questions that I wrestle with all the time. These are questions that I try to put into words for you. These are questions that I hope you try to put into action in your lives. How do we do God's work as a body of believers? As Brennan read for us, we're a body, we're a unit. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 12, we're not solo Christians who happen to come together on Sundays. We're a unit, we're a body, the body of believers. The ear can't say to the eye, I don't have any use for you. Because if we were all an ear, where would the sense of seeing be? Or where would the sense of smell be? Or who would do the walking? Or who would do the handling? We all have specific roles in this body. We all have specific gifts in this body. What are we doing as a body? How charged are our batteries for the work that God has for us to do? If we are to be followers of Christ, our purpose is to be aligned with His, to serve in His kingdom, to proclaim good news to the poor, to reach those on the outskirts of our society for the kingdom of God, empowered by His Spirit. Because when God empowers us for service in His kingdom, He does so in a way that is clearly defined and scripturally based. And empowered by that same Spirit. As individuals, we each have the call of the gospel to come to know Christ. This is a spiritual journey for each of us that requires really seriously charged batteries. The batteries that enable us to say, you alone are Lord, I confess my sins to you, I accept you, Christ, as my Savior, and I choose to live differently, empowered by your Spirit. I choose to live differently for your sake. That's a call for each of us. For us as a congregation, our mission is to grow in discipleship and to reach out to our community in the name of Christ Jesus. We must be empowered for that business. We must be empowered for that mission. And in just a few days, just 5 days from now, how about that for timing? Nine of us will leave this premises and fly south for a week. Our Guatemala team is almost ready to go. Ron asked me if we had packed yet, and I said no, but we'll get to that. He's packed up, but we're not, Aaron. We still have some work to do. We go not just as nine random people who get to go on a fun trip to Guatemala. We go as nine people who are representatives of this congregation. We're not just special people who get to fly to Guatemala for a week. We're people who are going on behalf of this congregation. We go as Mount Haley Church of God, partnering with five people from Meridian Church of God. We go on behalf of you. We go on behalf of Christ. We go there to serve, to assist work that is already being done there, to meet people, to build, to learn, to engage in conversation, to play, to enjoy, to encourage. We go there for all sorts of reasons, the most important of which is the reason that Jesus gave us to do anything. He said at the end of Matthew's gospel, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." This experience of this Guatemala trip is a reminder for us as a church that our horizons are broad, that our view on the world should be large. When we fulfill Jesus' call for the church to preach the good news to the poor, he means the poor everywhere around us, whether it be right here in Mount Haley Township or however many hundreds of miles to the south it is in Guatemala City. We are called to do the same task, empowered by the same Spirit. This trip is sort of a microcosm of what we are to do as a church. To reach out to people, meeting real, authentic needs. We're going there to help build a house for people. A family that lives in a tin shack, the cinder block house will be built up, much more weather resistant. It's much more improved from what they have been living in. This is real need, real human need that we're trying to help meet. And we're going there to share the love of Christ with people. You see, it's material and it's spiritual, just like Jesus' mission was. Preaching good news to the poor. So should we be about all the time. At this point, I would like to invite up those nine of us who will go to Guatemala this Friday to be identified for you so you can see us all. We're all here in one place. How about that? That's pretty good. So come on up, Ron and Tara and Nancy and Lawrence and Joe and Corey, Jerry and Connie, and me. Did I tell you to bring with you your little yellow sheet? Thank you. I didn't tell you to do that. It wasn't on my paper. I didn't bring mine either, so that's okay. And we'll just, Geraldine's coming up to lead us in this commissioning prayer. All of us should have this little yellow sheet to participate in this, because this is something that we are all participating in as a way of enacting the work of Christ in our world. On behalf of this congregation, we go as ambassadors of Christ, as representatives of Mount Haley Church of God, This is kind of like the Last Supper. I'm right in the middle, and everybody's on the side of me. Hold on, I just need a few more. Sorry. Somebody take a picture.
You know, hand?
No. Yeah, you know, everybody who wants in the picture, get on this side of the table, right? Okay. No, it's not you. Oh, one of you. Anyway, Geraldine, before we get too sacrilegious, would you lead us? Yes, please do lead us in this commissioning prayer.
I'm reading from the Bible first. This is Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 16. What I am reading here, we are all gathered here today, and we're here for a purpose, and this is what this scripture is about. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." If you'll join me with your commissioning slips. The Bible declares that God has commissioned every Christian to make disciples of all nations. We present these people before you, O God, as those who have responded to this call and are dedicating themselves now to help fulfill your commission.
We commit ourselves to the
We, the congregation of Mount Haley Church of God, committed to God's mission in our own community and throughout the world, pledge ourselves to daily, specific prayer for each member of this team during their journey.
We will join together in supporting our brothers and sisters as they make a call to serve. We acknowledge that we do nothing without your strength, and we pledge ourselves to follow your will and commands as we embark on this mission journey to Guatemala.
May the grace, peace, and wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ go with them as they serve.
Use us, O God, for your service.
Amen.